Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Southfield, Michigan, and earned a BS degree in communications from Michigan State University. He began making pizzas in 1986. Opened his first business in 1988, and invented the Bosco stick in 98. In 2012, he opened Crispelli's in Berkeley, Michigan, which is part bakery, part pizzeria, and part Italian mercato. Known by his friends as Johnny Bosco, his name, Mark Artini. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Mark Artinian, who invented the Bosco stick in 1998, a.k.a. Johnny Bosco. Mark, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Well, it's an honor to be here, Jack. Thank you, and thanks for that introduction.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Well, You mentioned the Bosco word. That actually the name of the company and the famous product that we all invented in 1998 does come from an old nickname when I was a child. So we played a lot of schoolyard football and at the neighborhood church, and the kids just tagged me with that name, Johnny Bosco, for some reason, and it stuck, and I just seemed to like it. So for years I used that name and kind of dropped it. And when I got into my business in my early 20s, the original name of the company actually was M&L Foods after my father, Leo. So it was Mark and Leo. And we used that name for many years to sell to schools a frozen product, which we'll talk about. And M&L Foods was well-liked as a name for the food service customers, but the kids didn't seem to relate to it. So kind of on a whim, I just decided to use an old nickname, and Bosco's just kind of stuck.
Mark, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, too many lessons in one day to talk about. Besides having just, you know, great parents who you were always supported and loved by, Mom and Dad both taught me a lot of lessons that helped in business, particularly my father. My father had 33 years experience at Chrysler. I was in international sales. I actually started out in engineering and just kind of gravitated towards the sales side in his late 20s, early 30s, because he liked the business aspect. And he was promoted to the director of a large department. And really that was his passion, is the business side. So I think I probably picked that up from my father. And both of them, Mom and Dad, just always had an incredible work ethic. And you still see it today. They're in their, my mom's 78 and my father's 84, and they're working hard every day. Keeps them young.
Hopefully they're listening.
Yes.
Make them proud. Make them proud. You go to MSU, you get a BS degree in communications. You have a dream to coach and teach.
Right.
But, well, arguably, you've always coached and taught, but you then go get a job at Papa Romano's making pizzas.
Yeah.
I don't know what Dad said when you said, "Pa, I got a job making pizzas."
Dad said a lot, actually, and very supportive again. The original idea, when I was in school, was to coach and teach. I love sports. That was my first passion. But I remember making the decision to become an entrepreneur, which I didn't know what that meant at the time. I just knew I wanted to be in my own business and maybe control my own fortunes and have maybe some freedom that you get in your own business. But mostly what drew me in was really the challenges and the fact that I felt I would never really be bored in my own business, which was something that I didn't want to be. I wanted to have challenges constantly. And my mom and dad both encouraged me to think that if, sports was not probably the right choice for business, and food was my other passion, And they encouraged me that, you know, if you love food and you have an opportunity to learn a business that, you know, with or without a degree. And at that time, I did have my degree at Michigan State. My dad said, you know, you got to start at the bottom. You got to learn a business. And you're going to learn anyways when you're in your own business. The more you can learn before you make your investment and have all the curveballs of owning your own business. He said, you know, the better off you are. So don't look at it as you know, just starting at the bottom. Just look at it as an important part of the process.
I got to share a great story.
Yeah.
Years ago, I had Tom Monahan, who did pretty good in the pizza business too. Opened his first store in Ipsen, Atlanta, like everybody did.
Mm-hmm.
Second store was in Mount Pleasant. First night, he had no business. Second night, he gets a call from a woman's dormitory at CMU. Shirley on the sixth floor wanted a Grand Deluxe or something. He makes it, gets in the car to deliver it, and the lady at the front desk was named March. So, and he's not the most talkative guy in the world. There's a few minutes till Shirley comes down with the money. So he says a few words to March. Next night he goes back, no business. So he takes dough, Mark, and in the form of a heart, he makes a pizza. You know, super deluxe, goes back to that dorm and presents it to this March and asks her to marry him. Of course, she said, no. Your pizza's good, but ain't it that good? And that's his wife.
Oh, my gosh. What a story.
So.
That's incredible.
Okay. April of 88.
Mm-hmm.
You got all your hair. You know, it'll be fun. At age 24, you buy Nick's Pizza in Rochester for $55,000.
That was the number.
Why?
Well, after a couple of years in the business that I the franchise that I was in at the time, there wasn't really an opportunity I felt really confident or comfortable with. So I decided to go on my own, and you know, did a search of the Oakland County area. I didn't plan on moving out. Kind of a little bit of a homebody, all my friends and family being here, and so I searched both sides of the town. And narrowed it down to several locations, and the one in Rochester caught my attention, probably because there was a high school across the street. And I did have a vision for trying to serve the kids quickly a better pizza than maybe they're getting in the cafeteria, and as a maybe an offering other than, you know, maybe the fast food offering. So that was kind of the vision. And what turned out to be, you know, trying to get the pizzas ready for them turned out to be difficult. They came on all at once, and it was frustrating not to be able to handle the crowd. So it's kind of the inspiration within 6 months, actually, that I decided to take the pizza that the kids really did like and prepare it in the morning and freeze it.
And the rest is history. And when we come back, we'll find out about that history. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, and we're with Mark Artinian, who started making pizzas in 1986, bought Nick's in 88. 10 months later, you sell it back. You bought it for $55,000. You sell it for $45,000. Not that much of a loss. And you focus then on M&L Foods, the wholesale frozen pizzas. How did that go?
Well, you know, looking back, I think when I sold it and made the decision to get into frozen pizza. There was probably a part of me that felt that I had failed at the first business. Now looking back, I realize it was really just part of the process. So I picked up where I left off at the pizzeria, dove into the frozen business. The one thing that attracted me to the commercial side was that I would be able to go after the customer. I enjoyed being able to go after the customer. Our first customer I'll never forget. Her name was Betty Bosardi. She was the cafeteria manager at Rochester Adams High School. Carrie Wach was a young, up-and-coming food service director and was, you know, very ambitious and wanted to upgrade the quality of the food for the kids, and she did. And essentially, if you look back 20, 25 years ago, the change in the quality of the food today versus, you know, 25 years ago is incredible. So I felt like it was a good time to get, you know, on that train. And I liked the opportunity to go after the customer and knock on doors and do demonstrations. So, I enjoyed that a lot.
Let's jump to 98. And you invent the Bosco stick.
Yes.
What is the Bosco stick?
Well, when you say I invent, I have to, and I look back at the process of developing the Bosco stick. I have to tell the story about the stuffed crust pizza. And backing up on the stuffed crust pizza, I had several key employees that I was lucky to find. My current partner, Craig Mallhinch. Craig came along in 1993, my current office manager and really assistant in my business, Virginia Delicati, both in 93. Two key employees, and Craig was instrumental in getting us into GFS, Gordon Food Service, which was at the time really our GM, and Sysco nationally. At the time, it was the Canton Sysco. He was instrumental in getting us to take a different approach instead of knocking on doors and doing the demonstrations ourselves. His focus was on getting into the commercial food service guys and trying to go a little bit bigger. And he came back from a food show and was excited about selling the stuffed crust pizza in the mid-90s because of the Pizza Hut penetration in their advertising with that new product. It really was a big hit, one of the biggest hits in pizza. And from the stuffed crust pizza, which was an instantaneous hit, we tripled our sales within a couple of years. We were, as an inventor, as an operations guy we knew that we needed to automate the process. It was at that time I had 40 employees and we were working around the clock, doing everything by hand. And we came up with the idea, or some help from a equipment supplier, that we would co-extrude. We would more or less have a machine that had two hoppers, and it would allow us to put anything in one side and into the dough on the other side. So basically a filled product. So we had the idea of putting the cheese and the dough together and creating a rope of cheese, which we would then kind of marry around the edge of a crust to create an automated semi-automated stuffed crust. Now that was a true failure. We really worked hard for 3 months to try to make that product work, and it just didn't stick. The schools didn't like it. But again, during that time, a lot of different stories of how it happened. But several people said, "Boy, the stuffed crust itself, the edge is terrific. Why don't you cut it off and use it as a stuffed crust?" So really, it was a team approach. And from that moment on, when we went out and sold 7-inch stuffed crust pizzas, which we called the Bosco stick, we really never looked back. It was an instant hit.
14 years later, you've got 155 employees. You'll sell over 100 million of these sticks today. What's the culture of your company? And most importantly, how do you propagate that culture, Mark, throughout the 155 teammates?
Well, as I said, I've got several key employees. I feel like our organization is very strong. Another lesson learned from my father, being in a large successful corporation like Chrysler, and I focused on getting the best people. Craig came along at the perfect time. After Craig, I continued to build my staff with two key people: Jane Henderson, our accounting manager; Paul Morgan, our operations manager. And both really set the tone every day for a commitment to the business, a commitment to professionalism with both each other, the employees, our customers, and generally the work that they do, and initiative. You know, they keep everybody, really plugged into the goals and plugged into coming to work with an attitude of, hey, what are we going to accomplish today? And so I really got to I got to say, it's really it's tough when you run your own business and you're a small business and you're young. A lot of things to learn, and one of the best ways to learn was when you get very professional key employees, and you actually learn from them.
You're in all 50 states. I was in Costco the other day, and here's Bosco sticks. I mean, that's tall cotton.
Right.
When you make it to Costco, I don't know if you make any money. But how'd you ever get into Costco?
Well, it's a good question. They've been a great customer. Our retail sales have really taken off the last couple of years. We're also in several other large chains like Myers, and Myers has been good. Sam's Club now recently, but Costco, when they said they were going to move the product, they weren't kidding. They let us in at a good time. We got a great location within the store. We did a lot of in-store demonstrations, and the sales exceeded our expectations, frankly. So we were really working around the clock with that order, and it really started. You know, back to the one of the things that's nice about the Bosco stick is the kids really appreciate the product. They really like the product. They like the quality. And sometimes it opens doors. It's not the first time that I can say that, you know, we had one of our key sales, our retail sales managers, Bob Hedges, out of Grand Rapids. Bob was working on that account for a long time. And I think there was a little help from a young 12 or 13-year-old boy who was loved his Bosco sticks every day, and found out that his dad, who was one of the, you know, the key purchasing decision makers at Costco, was thinking about putting Boscos on the shelves. So there was a little influence from that youngster, and that's the kind of thing that, you know, just a break that you needed, but really a lot of work on the sales guy's side to make that happen, and a reputation in the schools for developing a real good quality product.
For the last 14 years. You've had to have many, many people or kids come up to you, and when they find out that you're Johnny Bosco, what's the greatest such story or experience you've ever had?
Craig likes to talk about it is when he's at food shows that he calls himself a rock star when he first came out, when the kids would come to the shows with the directors and the cooks, they really thought, oh my gosh, this guy. So he took all the credit, of course. But really, one of the funny stories, probably, because I do get that a lot, a little embarrassing probably to tell, is I was at a Red Wing game with a good buddy, and he was selling, he was in sales, and he had brought a couple customers down. In fact, the husbands and the wives, and the husbands couldn't make it, so they took their kids, 14, 15-year-old girls. They had the Red Wing jerseys on. One of them had Steve Yzerman jersey on, and it was a big game, and we were watching the game on TV, I think in the Olympia room at the time during the periods. And one of the girls found out that this guy that Paul had brought was the inventor Johnny Bosco. And her whole mood changed completely. She was on the phone texting all of her friends, and all I could think was she was into the hockey game, and she is wearing a Steve Yzerman jersey. And sure enough, I found out she was texting all her friends that she was sitting next to the inventor, Johnny Bosco, and I ended up signing an autograph on the back of her jersey. So hopefully Steve Yzerman never found out that story, because I'm a little embarrassed by it. But it's been fun.
We're talking to Mark Artinian, a quintessential entrepreneur. An entrepreneur always has to prove to himself that he can do something. And he has a dream, and then he's got to get people to help him turn that dream into reality. When we come back, we're going to talk about a crazy dream, a really crazy dream in 2011. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with the famous Johnny Bosco, Mark Artinian. Mark, it's 2011. You're working 70-plus hours a week. Lawyers after you, accountants after you, people. And you see an abandoned Denny's on 12 Mile in Woodward. I believe it had been abandoned for over 10 years. And you say, I need a restaurant again. I need a restaurant again. You're crazy, Mark. You're crazy. Maybe that's what Gina said. You are really crazy. Why did you start Crisp Bellies?
Well, I've heard I'm crazy from several people. I'll say Gina is probably the first in line, especially when she found out that I was going to do this.
But she married you.
But she married me. And as a matter of fact, I will say Gina was part of that inspiration and that craziness. Both of us are foodies and love going to restaurants and traveled a lot, have been fortunate enough to travel a lot. So, and critique everybody's restaurants and critique the food service choices out there. And we've always wanted, Gina and I talked about, you know, why isn't there more opportunities to go to places that are a little less formal, informal, leisure, and still get really good quality food. And I think that was kind of the inspiration. That still is really the dream, that we want to take the level of quality and food offerings up and penetrate the growing fast casual market. So I guess, I saw an opportunity just like I think I did, you know, with, in the frozen pizza, that there was an opportunity to improve in an area of that market. The fast casual business is growing, while the other restaurant industries, the fast food and the fine dining, are more or less stagnant. So we thought that there was certainly a niche for a real high quality thin crust, kind of European style thin crust pizza. That you could go. Everybody loves pizza. We I think we all agree to that. And I had been fortunate enough to partner back up with the two guys that I learned from, Joe and Ken Morelli. And I also brought in my brother-in-law, Gina's husband, Glenn Wilson, who had just opened up 3 years ago a successful restaurant after a long career in the automotive business, Wilson's Pub in Commerce Township. And I thought I'll assemble a team together. It won't just be on me. I've got some great guys running Bosco's. My wife was very supportive and loved the idea. And I would be able to maybe change the landscape a little someday in the fast casual business. That's kind of how we thought in the original frozen food business, is we would someday change the landscape. I am learning it is a lot of hours, too.
You said something a minute ago that everybody loves pizza.
Yeah.
And as I think about it, everybody does love. Why?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it tastes great. Everybody would say that right away. A lot of choices. So, the kids, it's great for the kids because they get to choose what they want on. Of course, cheese and pepperoni is the usual favorite. And part of it maybe, too, is we made it a point when I partnered up with Joe and Ken, who I knew had just a passion for making pizza and an ability, a skill set to really, make their pizzas better than most. And true pizzaiolas, which I think people are starting to get their arms around a little bit more, even in the United States, that, you know, the pizza, especially on the West and the East Coast, has become more of a gourmet item, a signature item at some of the nicer restaurants. And we had hired a fella at Bosco's to be part of our R&D team, Tim Kitzman. Tim came with a world of experience in baking, artisan baking. So there's a little bit of a collision in our product with the artisan baking and the skills that Tim brought to really understand dough and the fermentation process of dough to make great natural crust. And the skills that Joe and Ken brought together. And I have a passion for the product and have seen most of the good ones throughout the United States. And as a team, we kind of put together what we think is one of the best pizzas around. And we've priced it for people to be able to afford it every day or often enough, and they seem to like it.
You opened on February 28th, 2012. It was an instant success. And when you go in there, the customers go to different stations. Why?
Well, we wanted to appeal to the kind of the open or market side of the restaurant. So we wanted it to feel a little bit more like an eatery, a little bit of a maybe a food station, but more of an eatery style rather than restaurants. You won't find waitresses and waiters in our original concept. There's a certain quality of interacting, I guess, with the people that are making the food for you, being able to see it, being able to smell the crust baking, being able to see the danishes as they're popping up in the oven, and certainly being able to see the pizzas come out of the hot 700-degree pizza oven. So I think there's just a quality that we felt would be important that the customers would take to see everything, as well as being able to experience a great product.
We're with Mark Artinian. Mark, every business today is tough. It's a war out there. But the restaurant business, wow. Customers are ever more demanding. They want fast, casual, convenient, healthy, and cheap. How can you be successful in the restaurant business today?
Well, one of the things I learned quickly is in your business, in the restaurant business, you're never going to be able to have a product or an offering for everybody. You're going to have to pick an audience. And if you can pick an audience that's broad and not a small segment, then you have a better chance for success. And we do feel like we appeal to all different audiences, every age group, professional, et cetera. You just have to really, hope that you can appeal to a broad audience, and I think we do.
You're also part bakery at Crispelli's. What's the best item in the bakery?
Ooh, I like all the breads, but we have a lemon rosemary bread that Tim makes that is absolutely out of this world. I would say that's my favorite, and it sells quite well. People seem to love the French epis that we make, that we serve with the salads, basically a baguette. And he's taught our bakers to kind of cut with scissors the baguette and flip them back and forth to create almost like a stalk of wheat. And we put a little sea salt on that product, and we serve that with our salads. You'll find a host of wonderful pastries now with our new pastry chef, David Auer. David owned his own bakery and artisan bread bakery for 15 years in the 80s, and David's been on board now for a couple of months and has really taken our pastries in the dessert pastries up a level. And now that we're opening for breakfast soon, we have a host of morning pastries, and my favorite one is the chocolate croissant.
If you ever need a taste sampler. I'm your man, Mark. I'm your man. I love the pastries. We're with Mark Artinian, Johnny Bosco, inventor of Bosco Sticks, proprietor of Crispelli's, and I'm Jack Crisula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're with the founder of Bosco Stick, Mark Artinian. Mark, there's been a lot of talk recently about small business owners, whether you do it yourself or not do it yourself. Talk to us about the life of a small business owner today.
Well, I've enjoyed it. If I had the chance to go back and rewind the clock, I would do it exactly the same. I was fortunate again to have some great. I had a great mentor in my father. I had a great mentor and some good friends that I spoke of before that really taught me a lot of business lessons. But certainly my mother and my father, their lessons of hard work and learning some of the key things in business was important. I think it expedited some of the successes that we had early at Bosco's. One of them was, getting out and reaching out and finding the best people to work for you. My dad just instilled that over and over again, hire people that have a skill set or even smarter than you in the important areas of the aspects of the business. You can't do everything. You can't be everywhere. And you know, one of the advices I would say is once you've made the decision to go into business and certainly grow your business, that you've got to rely on good people. I also think that the important thing too is to follow your passion. Again, I loved food, always did. If you have an opportunity, I should say, to go into an industry or a business or a line of work that you really are passionate about, I think it just makes it easier to sell yourself and to sell your business.
If there's a listener tonight who has recently started a mm-hmm. business and says, well, that makes all the sense in the world, get the best people. Mm-hmm. Mark, that's easy to do once you're very successful to attract them. But I've just been in business for a year. Mm-hmm. It's a very tiny business. You know, we're not that successful, profitable. What's the key to – I got to attract the best people, mm-hmm. and their interns are the ones that make it mm-hmm. successful. How do I attract those best people?
Well, I think you do have to set a tone as well. When you know your business is meeting a market demand, you have to keep them motivated. You have to provide the vision for what you're trying to do as a company, where the opportunities are for your business, whether it's product development, whether it's a service business. You have to inspire, and you have to lead, providing the energy. People feed off that. The commitment of the business, people really do feed off that. And we've been fortunate enough to have a lot of professional people now that really have taken that commitment to really a whole nother level.
Mark Gartini, and anybody who listens to you talk about the last 26-year business career, one thing that everybody hears from you is that you need patience in running a business. What do you mean by that?
Well, You're going to run into challenges, like every job, maybe your own business. Maybe you're going to run into even maybe more challenges. While there's more opportunities and more chances for financial rewards, freedoms, all the good things that people think about. Hey, if I'm going to go into my own business, I can set my own hours. The same is true for the challenges. I think in a business, they're coming at you constantly. The competition is always looking out for you. Patience is important, and so is perseverance. I think there was a lot of times early on where I thought very strongly about going back into the business world in more of a occupation of sales or taking on a job in a different business. And you know, mom, dad, very staunch, a very hardworking family. They just taught me not to lay down, not to quit.
Speaking of don't quit, perseverance, success is 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. You know, that's a great saying, but all business owners have gone through some really tough times. How have you held on and not given up?
I think I love the business. I'm proud of the people at Bosco's and Crispelli's, and I enjoy working with the customers. I enjoy making products that we feel inspire customers. We sell over 100 million Bosco sticks every day, and we know that those kids really do enjoy the product, and that keeps you going. So I think your customers and the passion for helping do something good for the community and doing something good for other people is a big part of it.
You mentioned in the first segment that in 1988 you bought Knicks for $55,000.
Yeah.
10 months later, you sold Knicks
right.
for $45,000. So that was a mistake.
Right.
As you get bigger, the mistakes get bigger. There's just more zeros on the end of the mistake. So all business people make a lot of mistakes. Even the greatest batters only get 3 hits out of 10. Talk to us about making mistakes and surviving mistakes.
Well, they say you can't be afraid of making mistakes, and that's so true in business. Because part of business is also willing to take risks. I had early on the difficult decisions were to buy the original Rion equipment that was at the time probably more than the value of the business. So we did take some risks early on. We continue to take risks in both on the sales side. Craig has had to make some tough decisions with the changing landscape of how the sales and the kind of the brokers and the distributor climate has changed now in food service. He's had to make difficult decisions. Paul's had to make difficult decisions in expanding our equipment line. So there are a lot of risks that you have to take, and I guess you do your best to try to analyze your options, do your research, don't be afraid to ask for help, and really try to minimize the big mistakes. Because yes, as you get bigger, the zeros are added on at the end.
A few weeks ago, I had a guy, Captain Charlie Plum, who on his 75th mission over Vietnam, with 5 days left to go on his tour, he got shot down. POW for 6 years. Now he gives 100 speeches a year, Motivational Speaker Hall of Fame. And one of his quotes is, quote, "My premise is that adversity is a horrible thing to waste." You have great people skills. You need that as an entrepreneur, as a leader. How does a person get great people skills?
I think you can learn it in the business, but I think the best way is to find role models and mentors. And I was lucky enough to have a lot of those, you know, growing up with friends and family.
As our time winds down together tonight, Mark, last question: what advice would you give to our young listeners?
If you have an opportunity to follow your passion, that you know, put money behind the passion. Do what you really like to do, and you feel that you have a skills set to do. But be prepared for challenges. Be prepared to compete. Be prepared to show either you know the business you're working with that you're willing to persevere and do what it takes to be successful.
Mark Artinian, you live those words that you just said to those young people. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for the hundreds of millions of Bosco sticks. Thanks for Chris Bellies. Please keep up the great work.
Jack, thanks for having me here.
And
I
thanks for all you do for the community. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall. Believe.